The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. I've been doing a lot of listening this week, and there are a lot of voices to listen to. I've been listening to the national leaders squabbling over who's going to fix the economy and even when they're going to make the speeches about fixing the economy. I've been listening to the emotional crescendo as we reached today's 10th anniversary of 9/11. I've been listening to the rain falling relentlessly, thundering on the roof here, and the news reports of everything from inconvenience to tragic death. I've been listening to the classrooms downstairs filling up with the children as preschool began, some happy sounds and some not so happy sounds. I've been listening to the media reports of the wildfires in Texas eating up entire communities. I've been listening to unemployment figures, which never seem to be good news. I've been listening to individuals in pain, physical or emotional pain, grieving, depressed, hopeless or helpless. I've been listening to the traffic passing the church in ever-increasing quantities after Labor Day. I've been listening and watching emails and conversations dealing with every detail of our upcoming country fair. Sunday school starting up, church programs of every variety, there is a great deal going on to listen to. And I know that you've been listening too much of this. Our heads are full of all those sounds and messages. Our hearts are overflowing with emotions. Sadness, fear, patriotism, hope, anxiety, anticipation. We don't have room for much more. So I'm going to try and keep my message short and simple and focused on the basics of what we're here for as church and what Jesus says in the gospel. Because we're here this morning, gathered as God's people in spite of all the above. In this sacred space, we are gathered this morning to make our commitment to the body of Christ, of which we are all a part. We're ready to step out into a new program year. We're ready to make what small contribution each of us can make to the spread of the kingdom of God. We're ready to listen some more, to listen to each other's pain, each other's joy, to open up ourselves to God's love and to eat at God's table together. We are the church, and the church's mission on earth, as the Catechism tells us, is reconciliation. We have promised to seek and serve Christ in all persons, no exceptions. That means reaching out to reconcile all people to each other and to God. And one of the first steps of reconciliation must be forgiveness, as Jesus tells us in the Gospel. Jesus teaches us how to live forgiven lives. Every day when we say our prayers and we say the Lord's Prayer, we pray that we might be forgiven as we forgive others. Quite a responsibility there. And forgiveness isn't simple. It's not a single act. It doesn't come naturally to us. And it's not easy. If you look carefully at the reading from Genesis that we heard this morning, the end of the Joseph story, you see Joseph's brothers begging his forgiveness for the terrible things they did to him. And you see Joseph not saying, "I forgive you." He promises to take care of them and keep them safe and feed them, but he doesn't say, "I forgive you," because he's not there yet. Maybe he never gets there. But he's taking the first step as much as he can by saying, "I will take care of you. You have nothing to fear from me." You see, forgiveness is a long, slow process. And that's why Jesus says we have to make the gesture over and over and over, 77 times or 70 times 7 times or just as many times as it takes. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting the offense. It does not mean dismissing the significance of the offense, and it does not necessarily mean continuing or renewing an unhealthy relationship. But it does mean letting go. Letting go of the hold that the offender has over us. Letting go of the power that that offense has. It means handing over to God our desire for revenge and even sometimes for justice. It means being freed of a burden. As God's people, we are free people. We are forgiven people. Through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we've been offered forgiveness at no cost to ourselves. And if we can live forgiven lives, we will live transformed lives, and we will be able to offer transformation to the world. If we can accept the vastness of God's forgiveness, we will live as changed people, liberated people, transformed people. This morning, we gather as the Church of God, a God who loves every single creature that God ever made, no exceptions. Our task, in the midst of all the noise and the pain and the stuff of our lives, is to show the world what reconciliation looks like, what being forgiven looks like. As we continue to reflect together on this post-9/11 world, what will be our tasks individually and corporately in bringing about reconciliation? How will we live out that daily prayer to be forgiven as we forgive? Perhaps we can at least do as much as Joseph did, moving past the painful history, offering our resources to those in need, even if they've offended us. Perhaps we can do like Peter and practice over and over and over again. And perhaps we can experience and then share God's grace, the grace of freedom and of transformation. And we can do our part to bring God's peace to this noisy and distracted world. Amen. Let us stand.